I trust your hearts are joyful today in what the Lord has done for us in sending his Son to this earth to be our Savior. What a wonderful, joyful thing it is to think about that. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Little book of Micah, one of the minor prophets, as we call them in the Old Testament, because they are short. The major prophets are called major, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, because they're long. The other prophets are called minor because they're short, relatively speaking. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we have a prophecy concerning the place where the Messiah would be born, the town of Bethlehem. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." This morning I want to talk to you about the town of Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was born. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we study his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he was born in Bethlehem, that fulfilled a prophecy, and his birth and life and death and resurrection fulfilled the work of redemption for us. We rejoice in that, and our hearts indeed are full of joy. We pray that as we study upon your word this day and have some thoughts about this little town of Bethlehem, that on this Christmas day we may find ourselves devoted to you in a way that will make us useful for your purposes, as was this little town. And I pray for your help in our study as I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bethlehem has become quite famous. I would suppose that if you would mention Bethlehem in most places around the world, that people would know that's the place where Jesus was born. What if Jesus had not born in Bethlehem? Would we ever hear of the town, I wonder? Places become famous because of events that take place there. For example, Gettysburg. You can go all over the country and mention Gettysburg, and everybody knows that's where the big battle happened in the Civil War. But if that battle had never taken place, you might go across country and mention Gettysburg and say, "Where's that?" There are lots of towns. You meet people from different places and they'll tell you where they're from and say, "Well, never heard of that one before." Because nothing spectacular ever happened there. But Bethlehem is famous because a very special event took place in that town. In this verse, it calls Bethlehem little. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah." I find that to be significant. Jesus did not choose to be born in Jerusalem. He certainly could have. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. It was part of the tribe of Judah. It was the place of the throne. It was the place of the temple. And that certainly was the most logical place for the Messiah to be born. That's why the wise men came into the city of Jerusalem looking for the newborn king. But Jesus chose to be born in Bethlehem, a little town. There are many reasons, and we can talk about those various things. But Bethlehem itself being little, and the fact that the scripture points that out to us, is the thing that I want to emphasize this morning. Little Bethlehem was useful to the Savior. How little was Bethlehem? Well, scripture tells us that Israel was divided into units of 1,000 adult men each. This was under the advice of Moses' father-in-law. If you recall, Moses was in the wilderness, was attempting to be the judge of all of the people. And how many ever there were in the nation, we know there were over 600,000 men alone. Can you imagine how many people among that group would have disputes that needed a judge? And he would attempt to judge all of the people all day long, and it was wearing him out. And his father-in-law suggested that he divide the nation into groups, starting with groups of thousands, and then groups of hundreds, and then groups of fifties, but set judges over each of these units. Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 16 indicate to us that the unit of a thousand was a standard unit in the nation of Israel, because it points out to us who were the heads of thousands in the nation of Israel. Places too small to have units of 1,000 men were combined. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 tells us that there were four brothers whose families had multiplied, but not like the other Israelites, and their family groups were much smaller. So the four brothers, their descendants, were grouped together as one unit to try to make up 1,000. So places that were too small to be counted individually were counted collectively in that manner. But Bethlehem was so small. How small was Bethlehem? Go over to Joshua chapter 15. Actually, we're not going to find the town of Bethlehem here, but that's what I want to point out to you. Because there are an awful lot of towns in the tribe of Judah that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture. Beginning in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 20, it says, "This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families." And beginning in verse 21, we have a list of those cities that are toward the coast. And in verse 32, it indicates that all of these cities were 29 cities with their villages. And then in verse 33, it talks about villages in the valleys. And there were 14 of those cities and 16 others of those and 9 more cities as it's listed down through there. Verse 48, you have the cities in the mountains. 11 cities and 9 cities and 10 cities and 6 cities and 2 cities and 6 cities as it lists it down through the passage that's indicated. But of all of these cities, Bethlehem isn't ever mentioned. I find that to be interesting. It existed. It was there. But it was so small that when the cities of the tribe of Judah were listed for their inheritance, it wasn't significant enough to even be mentioned. It was just a little place. In fact, Ezra chapter 2 and verse 21, when the children of Israel were returning from the Babylonian captivity, Ezra mentions how many folks from each family were returning from Babylon. Ezra chapter 2. Verse 21, it says, "The children of Bethlehem were in 123. A number of these other groups were in the thousands or multiple hundreds, but Bethlehem, 123. It was just a little place. As you travel south from Jerusalem, the main road travels along the top of a ridge. The main ridge travels south from Jerusalem down to the city called Hebron. About 6 miles or so south of Jerusalem, there is a little ridge that juts out from the main ridge, and on that little ridge is where the city of Bethlehem sits. From that ridge, the topography tapers down with natural terraces, and it was a very fertile place. Thus, Bethlehem got its name, for Bethlehem means the house of bread. What a marvelous place for the bread of life to be born. It may have gotten some note from some other events. Rachel was buried there. Remember, Rachel was Jacob's wife and the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 19, by the roadside which passes Bethlehem is where Rachel was buried. Ruth and Boaz met there in Bethlehem. Remember, Ruth was a Moabitess, but came with her mother-in-law, the widow Naomi. Ruth herself being a widow, came from Moab back to the place of Bethlehem, and there met Boaz. That was a strategic meeting because from Ruth and Boaz, about three or four generations later, came a man named David. He was born in Bethlehem. And of course, that is the reason that Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem in order to file their taxes, because they were of the house and lineage of David. And so there were some things that happened there of note. But Bethlehem was still little. It wasn't a place where people flocked to who wanted to live there. It was a central little town for shepherds. A lot of shepherds lived there. There were many shepherds in the area, for the land between Jerusalem and Bethlehem was almost covered with shepherds and sheep. Those sheep being raised for the purpose of being used in the temple. One estimate suggests that as many as 500,000 sheep grazed between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. But Bethlehem wasn't a metropolis. It wasn't a city. It wasn't a place where people wanted to go for entertainment or vacation. It was just a little place, out of the way, off the main route to Jerusalem. And yet it says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, if we could return there, that out of Bethlehem comes this person. Yet out of thee, even though thou be little, that's the way the scripture phrases it, though thou be little, even though you're very small, Bethlehem, out of you shall he come forth, the one who will rule in Israel, the Messiah, will come out of little Bethlehem. And thus, Bethlehem's fame, we go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. Matthew chapter 2, the wise men come looking for the newborn king. And they wonder, where is he? King Herod wanted to know where he was also. And so he inquires of the chief priests and the scribes. And the scribes are familiar with the Old Testament prophecies. They knew of this passage of Scripture. And they quote to King Herod from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. In verse 5 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Bethlehem became known as the place where the Messiah would be born. Even later, in Christ's adult ministry. Would you go over to John chapter 7, verses 40 to 42? John chapter 7. Verse 40. And many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." When they heard Jesus speaking, they thought surely that this was the prophet that would come before the Messiah. But in verse 41, others said, "This is actually the Messiah." But some said, "Shall the Messiah, Christ, come out of Galilee?" See, it was well known that Jesus had grown up in Nazareth. He was the son of the carpenter Joseph from the town of Nazareth. They didn't know, which is one of the sad things, I think, of the record of Christ's time here on earth, that there were shepherds who announced to many people that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. That there were chief priests and scribes that had been informed by the wise men that the Messiah had been born, and they knew where the Messiah was to be born, and they knew a child had been born there. Yet the word did not get down to the people 30 years later. They didn't know Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. They say, "The Messiah doesn't come out of Galilee." Verse 42, "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" The folks knew. Bethlehem had been put on the map because of a prophecy. Bethlehem was the place where the Messiah was to be born. If only they knew that Christ had actually been born there, what more impact that could have made upon the folks. Little Bethlehem, the place of the birth of the Messiah. Bethlehem enjoys the best kind of fame. Because when you think about it, Bethlehem didn't actually do anything. It was just there. And it became an instrument for the Messiah to use. This is the kind of fame that each of us should desire in our lives. Passive fame. We are small little creatures, like Bethlehem is a small little town. And we ought to see ourselves as small little creatures, available for the great ruler to dwell in, so that we need not do anything. Just be there as a place for him to dwell, so that he can use us for his glory. Who was Joseph when he was chosen to be the husband of Mary who would bear the Christ child? He was just a carpenter, and the people mentioned that. He's nobody. Who's a carpenter? Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 to 55. The question was raised, well, Jesus can't be anybody important because he's just the son of a carpenter. Now, it's not intended to be any slight against any of you that might be carpenters. But back in the day when Jesus was born, carpenters were not one of your most prestigious occupations, especially when it compares to the reign of the Messiah, the King of Israel. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'Whence hath this man wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son?'" Why, carpenter's son can't have wisdom. A carpenter's son can't have mighty works. He's just a carpenter's son. Well, Joseph might have just been a carpenter, but he was very useful to the Lord because he was willing to be there for Mary when she needed him. Joseph didn't do a whole lot. He didn't perform any miracles. But he was there, useful for God's purposes. He doesn't have much to say recorded in Scripture. But he was available, just a carpenter, but useful to the Lord. What was the Apostle Paul's attitude about himself? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. So in verse 7, he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything. Well, who is he that planteth? Paul said, I have planted. I'm the one that's planted. Apollos is the one that watered. He says, who is he that planteth? Is he anything? No. He that planteth isn't anything. In fact, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9. Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. Paul says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest of apostles. He recognizes the role he has in the plan of God, but then notice the last four words of the verse. Though I be nothing. And finally, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Paul says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. It's quite an estimation Paul had of himself. He isn't anything. He is the least of the apostles. He is nothing, and he's less than the least of all the saints. Paul saw himself as being very little. Very small in his own eyes. And yet how useful was the Apostle Paul to the Lord Jesus Christ? He probably was used to accomplish more in those first decades of the church than all of the other apostles put together. Because he had no grand view of himself. He was little in his own eyes. And the smaller he was in his own eyes, the more useful he became to the Lord. Remember the words of John the Baptist. I must decrease, and he, referring to Jesus Christ, must increase. It is not necessary to be a big somebody to be useful to God. We often hear of people that are very talented, and someone will say, if only that person would get saved, what could he do for the Lord? And I suggest to you, probably not very much if he remains big in his own eyes. It's not necessary to be big somebody to be useful to God. Bethlehem was little It was out of the way. No one important lived there. Nothing significant was located there. It was just a little place. Bethlehem didn't do anything. It was just there. And yet it became a wonderful, useful tool to the Savior so that he could be born in humble circumstances to show a mighty example to the rest of us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We need to get that principle. We need to be humbling ourselves as a little child. Not seeing ourselves as anything special or talented or significant or important. We're just a little helpless child. In that frame of mind, we can be useful to the Savior. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, Jesus said, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And in the very next verse, he said, "And that that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Do you want to be useful to the Lord? Be a Bethlehem. Be a little town. Just a little place. Christ is the Lord. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the King. And it is his desire to do his great things in little places. In fact, the smaller we are, the larger he will be in our lives and in our testimonies. Be a Bethlehem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimony of this little town, just a little place, but so useful to you. Lord, help us to be little places, little people. Help us to grow ever smaller in our own eyes every day, so that every day the Lord Jesus Christ may grow larger and larger in our testimony. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.